During the time of Lent, we wear special colors, the royal purple, as a sign of repentance. At this point in the funeral, we think about the person as an example of good things, and also, as we say in the Panichida, there is no one who lives and does not sin. Only God is without sin. So for those of us who sin, which this is one thing almost everyone agrees upon, then the church is the place to be. Because the church is not a hospital. It is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. However, people often misunderstand what repentance means. How often people, especially young children, say to their mother, "I love you." And we rejoice in those words. And children say to their father, and even to their friends, "You're my best friend. I love you." However, love in real life is challenged when there are moments of sacrifice. So in the Christian life, we say, if you love the person that has passed away, take all of their good characteristics, repeat them, replicate them, build a living monument of love in your life by repeating what she does. And when you fail, do not be disappointed, do not be discouraged, but rise again one more time and say, "I will try again." Because the core of Christian repentance is motivated by the love that we have for one another. The church always says we are never punished because of our sins. We are punished by them. Those bad habits, those bad choices that so easily cling to our lives, and even though with our lips we proclaim, "I love you," those bad habits come knocking once again and say, "But this is what you really want." But we fight and we struggle, and love wins out and says, "I repent of my sins." Not because I'm disappointed, not because I'm frustrated, not because I hate what I did, which all may be true, but because I love you enough to try, because you deserve a better husband, a better friend, a better sister, a better brother, a better daughter, a better son. These are the things that motivate Christian repentance during the time of Lent. People sometimes may have the illusion that pain saves, that all kinds of retributions to ourselves may be the cure. But no, when Christians look at the cross, they don't see a man being crucified and dying. They see a man loving even the people who are crucifying him. They see a Savior who says, in spite of the injustices in the world, in spite of the misunderstandings that will happen in your life, in spite of all the things that may go wrong, life is very fair, because at the end of your life, you will become the exact person you have chosen to be. You were blessed to have Anna in your life. You saw her beautiful acts of love. You saw her weaknesses. You saw her try again and again to be a better person. Replicate that in your life. For the Christian, sorrow without change means nothing. Love, if it simply means words and no change in my life, means even less. However, words that say "I love you," and effort and faith that says "I will try to become a better person for you," means truly we really did love her. We really do look at her life as an example, and we look at her weaknesses as an opportunity for forgiveness, understanding, and compassion. These are the sentiments that make for true mourning, for true Christian consolation, and for true Christian love. May all of you have been touched with Anna and her life. Find it within you to create a living memorial to her and become even better persons to each other at realizing what a precious gift this life is. Slava Iisusu Hristu.